Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning. I'm Cynthia Terry, a parishioner at Redeemer, chaplain at Goucher College, and ordained clergy in the United Church of Christ. And I have been struggling lately. Life feels like a chaotic mess at the 30,000 feet level and in the weeds. A global pandemic that's impacting millions of people's health, hundreds of thousands have died, schools and workplaces don't know what to do, goes on and on. A national reckoning, we hope, with the ongoing violence of racism, vast unemployment. In our own families, we continue to deal with mental and physical illness, with addiction, with ruptures in relationships, with economic stresses. And then there are the petty things, appliances that break, air conditioning that stops working during the hottest week of the year, whatever they are. We're facing enormous things at worldwide and national levels, and also within our families. It is really hard. It feels like there are no guidebooks or roadmaps for navigating a global pandemic, racial reckoning, personal struggles, and the petty stuff of life. Oh, there are books and more books and more books and movies and blogs and social media. There are pronouncements from governments, from leaders, scientists, from quacks. But all of these situations are complex, with where deep and significant values come into conflict with each other. We value physical health and bringing the coronavirus under control, of course, and we value mental health and well-being. And for many people, these are in conflict. We understand and value the needs of school-age children to be with one another, to learn in person, to have access to food and resources and warmth and safety. And we know and value the need to keep children, staff, teachers, and all their families physically safe. We understand that people are struggling financially and need jobs and work, and we know that we can't reopen everything all at once. Deeply held values are in conflict. There are no simple, easy answers beyond masks and physical distance because none of the solutions come without significant cost. It's overwhelming to live in this world right now. We are overrun with pain, fear, and confusion. Kind of like a field of wheat overtaken with weeds. The gospel today is an apt picture of what life feels like right now, including that it is confusing and discomforting. Note to self, next time you're invited to be a guest preacher, look at the text before saying yes. Since I'm guessing most of you haven't had this gospel parallel running through your mind for the past week or two, let me remind you of what it says. Jesus shares a parable, one of four in a row in this section of Matthew, about seeds on different soil, ours about the wheat and the weeds, the mustard seed that grows into the biggest tree in the garden, and yeast, which is this tiny substance that grows and creates bread. Our parable is the one about a landowner who plants wheat in his field, and then during the night, the enemy comes and sows weeds in the field. Suddenly, in addition to the crop of wheat, weeds are everywhere. The slaves, let's stop for a second and acknowledge this word. This is a place of real discomfort. Our holy text talks of slaves without critique. There are ways to unpack the concept of slavery at the biblical time, but today I just have to at least acknowledge that it makes us uncomfortable. So the slaves, the workers, go to the landowner and tell him about the weeds. The landowner says to leave it be, wait until it's harvest time. Then the reapers will separate the wheat and the weeds. The weeds will be gathered up and burned, and the wheat will be harvested. I don't know anything about wheat and only a little bit about gardening, but it seems better to get rid of the weeds sooner rather than later, I thought. So Jesus must be making a different point. The disciples ask him that very question, "What do you mean?" Jesus lays it out very much as an allegory. Each character or actor in the parable lines up with something in our lives. Here's what he says, much more one-to-one than he usually is. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are angels. Okay, more discomfort for me. I'm not so sure about this idea of an enemy that is the devil, or some people as children of the evil one, or a harvest that sends some people to the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth and fire. Again, note to self, read the text of the day before agreeing to preach. Perhaps we can understand the children of the kingdom as those living in love and light, the children of God. And the children of the evil one as those not living in love. Makes a bit more sense to me, shifting the language a bit from this stark good versus evil. Either way, though, where are we in this parable? I was a little slow to note that when Jesus explains all those characters, the one-to-one, it isn't really all of them. He doesn't explain who the slaves, the workers are. I think the workers are us, the disciples, the listeners. We are the ones saying, what do we do with all these weeds? They're choking out the wheat. They are choking out all the good in the world. How do we live in this chaos and mess? And the answer is twofold. First, it isn't time. And second, it isn't our job. That seems to fly in the face of everything we're hearing and feeling right now. We need to act and do, and it is our responsibility. So what on earth are we supposed to do with a parable that suggests that it isn't our job? The answer is probably a bit more nuanced than I just laid it out. I think the answer of the landowner is that the separation of weeds from wheat comes when it's time to harvest the wheat. When the wheat is full grown and is bearing fruit. So our job now is to nurture the wheat so that when the time comes, the wheat will be healthy and ready, bursting with all the goodness that wheat should have. We are to take care of the good and beautiful and healthy and righteous. We are to take care of the children of God. We're to tend our gardens, to do all we can to be sure that the plants in our care will be able to bear the best fruit possible. We are to do all that we can to be sure that the people and communities in our care grow and thrive. But what about all the weeds? The farmer, Jesus, God, answers that this is not our job. We don't have to worry about all of it. That is God's work. Of all the places we might find ourselves in the parable, the one that doesn't fit is us as the landowner. We are not God. Let me say that again. I am not God. You are not God. We don't have to understand everything. We don't have to know what to do about everything. We don't have to have all the answers. That is a relief. Because right now there's a lot of chaos and a lot of weeds. How can we stop the spread of COVID? Why can't we do the right thing? What can I do to fight racism in myself and my communities? Will schools open? Should they open? How will families manage? What will my job look like in the fall? What will college be like for our younger son? When will our washing machine come? In the midst of all the stuff that threatens to overwhelm, Jesus reminds me that my role is to take care of the wheat, to nurture the growth of those who are children of the kingdom, children of light and love, children of God. Such relief. Jesus is giving me a limit. I am not responsible for everything. I don't have to understand. I don't have to have all the answers. That part is God's work. The world is God's garden. We tend and we co-garden, but we are not responsible for understanding and solving and judging and deciding. We are responsible for nurturing and tending so that we and all children of God are able to thrive and bear the fruit we were born for. May it be so. Amen.